Do I sound better now?
Yes.
Yeah, you sound. Yeah.
Now, Tracy, cool. Sound bad. To me.
Not to me, though.
No.
Sounds good to
no.
me.
Oh, no. I don't sound bad. Please don't say it.
Oh, no, no. Oh, it's okay geez. Now. It's be okay.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. Good, 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 good.
Hello and welcome to episode 98 of the Pocket Gamer podcast. I have almost recovered, but do forgive me for my slightly throaty voice. Well, and I'm going to be your host this evening or this morning, whenever you're listening to the podcast. With me is the affable Wilson.
Wilson, hello.
He's recently picked up a vocal tic where he has to shout his surname before he responds to anything. It's odd, but he's okay.
What do you
and
mean?
Of course, the nothing, Wilson.
Wilson, okay.
Right, Wilson. That's it. Now you're gonna have to go and sit in the corner.
It's just that your connection cut out on my side just as you said my name, so it just came out as and the affable Wilson.
Well, you are affable. And Wilson.
And Wilson.
But we really should introduce the third voice, which is the handsome Trace Jackson.
Dashingly handsome.
Handsome. And that's not to take away from your looks, Will, and it's not to take away from your affability, Tracy. I'm just trying to, you know, share out the love.
Ben, you're a jerk.
Well, thanks. That's my introduction sorted. So but I'm having microphone problems. We're gonna switch hosts. William, I
hello.
Bestow upon
I'm gonna you I'm gonna stand in. Sorry,
the
sorry
sword
guys.
Of host.
Sorry, I know. Yeah,
yeah no. I can apologise.
It's all right.
For letting you down, audience. But,
it's cool. Will
but, you know, I'll occasionally interject.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as the connection holds.
Hey, drive, Will, drive.
Anyway, sorry, guys. Sorry, I've got to get over to the driving seat. Okay, yeah, Ben's having a few connection problems. He's cutting in
this
and out.
This is free drive now.
I'm just taking my seatbelt off. Come on, I've got to say stuff while I do it. Yeah, okay, so we're in the news channel. And the first one up is that Langdell has been ordered to tell all of his licensees, that's the people who licensed the word Edge off him, which apparently he held through some, let's say, dodgy means. That's okay. And he's been told to tell them that you have no power, or he has no power over them anymore. Which
oh,
is.
He looks a little bit like Hoggle, actually, doesn't he?
He does a bit, yeah. Yeah, so Ben and Tracy, what do you think about this story?
What, you know, it's here is someone. I just take step back from the story for a second, and take kind of like a big picture view. It is amazing that this man gets as much attention as he does. He is so unworthy of the attention, you know. And we have to, because it's a story, because he's, you know, a trademark troll, a copyright troll.
Hoggle.
But it's just really, it's just sad. It's sad that someone like this can get so much attention. But it's a good thing. I mean, because remember we were talking 2 weeks ago, Ben, you had asked me, you know, what's your sense of what's going to happen with the trademark? And I thought it would take another, you know, year for this to get resolved, for him to lose those trademarks. But I'm glad I was wrong, and that those were completely rescinded, because that's good. That's good. You know, it's one thing for EA to have to deal with it, but I really have felt pretty bad for MOBA Game and a lot of the smaller companies that really don't have the legal muscle and the money to fight something like this. So it's really, really good news for them.
That's true, although, you, I mean, you know, come out of it, example, in that they got a lot of free advertising and went straight to the top of that's when it was released. So, I mean, we can look at it, we can look at the side as well. Mm. They've kind of gave them a springboard there. Would they have done so well without it?
No.
But yeah, but it's good. It's good. The dragon has fallen. I think he's falling. I get a little bit of a sense of, well, falling, yeah. And but also, at the same time, I'm really wary him or making judgments on him, because I've never met the guy, and he may just be misguided, and he does in video games. He just seems to have been slightly off track. So, you know, this will just stick and become a really nice guy. It'll be like the Christmas Carol. He'll buy the biggest turkey and they'll give it to the smallest developer, the one with the limp and the crutch.
That's a very optimistic outlook. I mean, there's nothing to say that couldn't happen. You know, people change.
Oh, well. Talking of change, Nspace, the primarily DS developer, has blamed the change, as in the change to the industry's fortunes,
I thought your link there, Will. I thought you were just going to say, speaking of change, let's change the subject.
Well, you see, that's much simpler.
Weak.
No.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, the Nspace have come out this week and blames the current state of the games industry as a whole, I think as a whole, isn't it, on the App Store, or more specifically, the iPhone industry. For problems in the wider games industry because of the pricing of apps, essentially, yeah. I don't know. I don't think this is. I don't.
Well, it makes some sense, doesn't it?
It makes some sense, but you know.
If you've got less reason to spend big bucks on a game if you're satisfied with smaller games. But I don't. You know, personally, most of the iPhone games aren't going to keep me. Satisfied to the degree that the kind of AAA proper platform release would, but it certainly hasn't changed my patterns. What about
Well, I mean, it's ludicrous to attribute any one thing for troubles in the game industry right now. You know, to be fair to Nspace, you know, the actual post was rather substantial, was rather long. And he did, Mr. O'Leary did note that, you know, the current economic, you know, sort of malaise is largely a factor in why game sales are down. That said, I think there's some tightening, some readjustment in the industry that's going on. You know, just because 99-cent games are available on a mobile phone does not mean people are not buying high-end premium games. Sales of AAA games are through the roof. So you're going to say that new AAA games aren't doing well? I think it's a bit of a it's a misread of what's going on in the industry. You know, the DS market is suffering. iPhone and iPod Touch are partly to blame for that. But it's also the dynamics of the marketplace itself with regards to DS and Nspace's decision to make games that don't cater to that market. Is it any surprise that Call of Duty isn't doing well on DS? No. You know, Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars didn't sell that well on DS. So to blame that on iPhone is really just, it's a scapegoat. They're making, you know, quite frankly, if Dan O'Leary wants to make, generalizations about the industry using an aggressive tone toward iPhone, allow me to use an aggressive tone towards Nspace and say that you're making poor business decisions by embarking on, you know, game development that's not, you know, suited to the market of the platform that you're designing the games for. DS isn't a hardcore game machine. So, you know, that said, I think, you know, there was some interesting comments that the readers posted on the site saying, you know, why do I want to pay for a $30 DS game when I can get a $7, you know, shooter on iPhone? And I agree with that. But at the same point, that kind of is actually in support of what what Endspace is saying, right? You know, so I do think that he does have a point in the sense that, yeah, it's driving prices down. But I do think that it was a little bit, that's how capitalism works. That's how competition works. If he doesn't like that, then they need to readjust their business model to account for that.
Yes, there's, talking of games, the App Hall of Fame has started. This is a new initiative that I believe you're a part of, aren't you, Tracy?
I am.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
It's like an all-star group of, to explain to the listeners, it's an all-star group of app reviewers, including of course Tracy and a couple of our old boys like Stuart Dredge, who's over at ME now, I think. Well, he's everywhere actually. I read his stuff. I always run into him. Anyway, there's a committee and they pick 12 games and apps that are brilliant, basically. And this month's edition included stuff that you might have heard of. I don't know, they're quite minor games, really, called Angry Birds, Flight Control, Doodle Jump. I hadn't heard of them myself, but yeah. And they pick the very best. They tell you about it. And then whoever gets inducted gets $1,000. Explain.
I can't tell if that was a question or shock. They get $1,000?
I was reading it as I went along. I was thinking, what the? I didn't notice that before. Wow. But it's flurry credit.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Flurry credit. Is that like McDonald's milkshakes? Just horrible, sickly things.
It's an interesting concept, huh? I mean, what do you guys think of it?
I think it's I like the little bit, the great big icons. It's like having a massive iPhone, a comedy iPad on your screen, which is nice. It's any promotion that can get out of the App Store and its flawed search systems is brilliant. And especially if they're backed up, they kind of, you know, industry heavyweights, if you will, Tracy, not to blow your trumpet too much. But I think maybe the only concern I'd have is that the initial flurry, if you will, of games are kind of the usual suspects.
Right.
And so maybe there's a danger that it would become just the top 10, yeah, you know, that's on the recommended apps. But you're best positioned to answer that. It's going to be monthly, so things are going to change as it goes along.
Yeah, it really is meant to be like a Hall of Fame sort of thing. I think it's aptly named. I mean, because it is going to end up being games that we've already recognized on Pocket Gamer and have been mentioned, you know, elsewhere many times over. One of the requirements is that the app, because it also includes non-gaming applications as well, is that one of the requirements is that it has to have been available for 6 months. So you're never going to see anything that you haven't heard of before. So it's, in a way, I think if you look at it kind of like if you look at it from a perspective of like, okay, if for someone who just gets an iPhone and they don't know what to get, they can refer to this Hall of Fame and say, oh, okay, well, I'll pick up Angry Birds and Doodle Jump and, you know, this Twitter client and things like that. So I think it can be a good tool, but I think for anybody who's really closely following the industry, I think it's more of kind of a neat almost game to play of like, oh, well, what's going to be inducted next? You know, just like with sports, you know, there's always a big hubbub here with the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's a big deal about who is going to get inducted. And of course, everybody has their own opinion of, you know, who should be inducted. And it's always kind of a guessing game.
Well, best of luck with it. I think it's a brilliant endeavor.
You need to upload your picture. You're the only one without an image.
Yeah.
I did, and it's not popping up. It's really weird. I'll have to get a hold of Jeff Scott, who runs it. He's also the owns 148 Apps, which is a a good source for games and app coverage. So a good guy. Really good guy.
Well, from good guy to Angry Birds.
Oh my lord.
That was so I wish my good. Mic was
you killed
broken.
You killed two birds with one stone there, Will Wilson.
That was thankfully you've managed to out-bad me.
draw fire.
Angry Birds. We found out this week through the magic of Mr. Mundy's interview with Rovio that it was sort of inspired by swine flu. Sort of. Would you believe it, guys? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know what? I would not have believed that.
It's the green. Do you see the green? The pigs, they're green. They're sick. And the avian flu that was going around previously, that had been slingshot it out of the news to make way for swine flu. And I, in my head...
You know who else would slingshot it out of the news?
Me, isn't it?
Yes, well, it's you.
Shall we slingshot past the anything... Can we just think shot into the room of mine?
I think that's a good idea.
All right. Well,
no, but before we go down there,
wait.
We shouldn't do that just yet.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
That's quite all right. Given that we're promoting Tracy's wonderful new site, we should also mention a book that I'm in, along with Joao, lovely Joao Dinez Sanchez, who is the kind of king of. Pocket Gamer sits in a big throne with a crown and stuff, and a few people. I think Stuart Dredge is in it. I've got it behind me. But yeah, it's 1001 video games you must play before you die, and it's the most comprehensive compendium of games you've ever seen. It includes the iPhone stuff, and you should get to Amazon now and buy it, all of you, every single one of you. And that's all I have to say on the subject.
Well, I've been holding this slingshot for a few minutes now. My arm is getting really tired. So can everyone just sort of jump on and we'll go to the room of mine?
Okay, I'm on.
Okay, Tracy?
I'm not signing the waiver.
Oh, I'm letting go.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
After walking 3 miles from our landing place to the room of mine, What kind of rumors have we got in store this week?
Well, we've got two new game announcements. Well, they're not announcements because they're rumored, but two new games that are rumored, and then we have kind of negative news, a negative rumor. So which would you like to hear first?
I think we shouldn't end with Nancy, as in negative Nancy.
Negative Nancy. Okay, we'll start with that then. They shouldn't come as a surprise to people. But Rumor Miner is confirming that Final Fantasy Tactics will not, as in it will not, have high-resolution Retina display support for iPhone 4 and iPod Touch. Which is... that sucks.
I'm incensed.
I am so angry right now.
That's what incensed means, Will. Duh.
Oh, I thought you said incense. I thought you were just quite sort of rich smelling.
Low resolution incense.
Low resolution.
Well, that's lazy of them, isn't it? Why
yeah. That? It's not surprising. I mean, you guys saw that screenshot that they released in September. It looked, well, to be frank, it looked awful. It looked really blurry.
Yeah. It's still disappointing, though. You know, it's a damn fine game. Should be treated as such. Should be treated like royalty.
I know. I mean, to give the benefit of the doubt to the development team, I do think it would have been a lot of work, if this is true, I do think it would have been quite a bit of work to support the Retina display. My concern, however, based off of that screenshot, is that the game is not going to look even very good on you know, like an iPhone 3GS, that it's going to be really low resolution. I mean, because that screenshot was awfully blurry.
Maybe they're trying to compress it down, trying to fit it, you know, trying to get it down in size. I mean, the EA's recent FIFA 11 came out, it was 900 megs, which, I mean, I think that's the largest I've seen an app.
I don't know. I mean, you may be right, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. Why would they? I don't think that they should be focusing so much on the compression. I don't think that's so much of a concern. For two reasons, because one, it was a PS1 game, but it couldn't have been that big to the point where it would be a huge, you know, would be a turnoff for consumers. And two, leading off of that last point, the people who are going to buy Final Fantasy Tactics don't care about size, play the game. Mm-hmm. It's a hardcore game. Let's be frank here. It's a game that is going to cater largely to people who have already played it.
And a niche audience outside of that. I mean, I wouldn't expect everyone to like this game, to be fair.
Yeah. So the people who are looking forward to buying it are really going to buy it regardless of how big the file size is.
Yeah.
Who knows? I hope this is false. This could, you know, this could be the reason for the delay. Maybe they are adding this in.
Well, hopefully.
Whenever it comes out, right?
Yeah.
Oh. It's done when it's done.
It should it's be done before
like
it's 10 done.
Years. Yeah, it's been done for years.
Well, that's my point.
So yeah, well, what's the next rumor then, Tracy?
Sega is working on an iPhone version of its recently announced Captain America movie licensed game.
Captain America.
I've never ever. That's weird. I remember his shield, but nothing. I don't think I've ever seen anything about America.
Was he one of the members in a posse of superheroes in one of the cartoons at some point? Or am I getting a muddle up with that?
No, that's Captain Planet.
Broken. Oh, ow. That hurt. I mean, that was ow. There was Tracy was kind of annoyed at my misinterpretation of Captain America and patriotically hammered me in the face. So
I think my U.S. national out like he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't like
so
that.
So hard, a little guy.
He's just hard. Yeah, that was So we're going to have to do the we've taken the podcast studio because it's on wheels. I don't think you knew that before. We've taken the Jazz/podcast studio out to the field where Tracy can't find us. So and we'll continue the rest of the podcast from out here in this wood. it's quite a nice wood. A little bit scary.
Dodgy than the rest of our activities. So yeah, all is well.
So, but that means that we're out of the rumor mine a little bit earlier than planned. But
well, we were rescued.
Well, yeah, we were rescued by the rumor miner. I forgot that. It faded to black. It kept fading in and out. Anyway, so let's do what we've been playing. Let's get back to the podcast.
What we've been playing!
Talking of mining, then I've been playing a game called Mega Worm. Which is
that Super Mega Worm?
It just says Mega. Let me see. Let me load it up. It's by Super Mega Worm. Yeah. It's by Deceased Pixel, and it's not really a game so much as a toy. You start as an egg, and you have to tap the virtual, and you're underground, and you hatch out of this, and then you're a big. Super Mega Worm, in fact. And pressing A makes you go faster when you're underground, and if you've earned it, lets you shoot from your mouth, as we'd all want to do. Helicopters, and you roll over them and eat them. There's a tiny little virtual D-pad on the left of the screen. I don't understand why there aren't accelerometer controls on this one. But
I've played that one. I have to say, yeah. I can join in on what you've been playing. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that good.
No, I don't think it's that good. I'm building up to that. It's it becomes repetitive. It's hugely repetitive. There's no game. There's no goal other than to get a score. But your score seems to reset when you leave the game. So you earn, which I suppose that happens with lots of games. Let me clarify my point. You have a persistent worm, which is one of the complaints we'll often see the doctor.
Yeah.
And you build up its ability, and
that's also what I tell him.
Yeah. There's this conflict between the persistence of your RPG style leveling up of the invertebrate and the having to start your score again, because that makes you feel like you've gone back to square one.
I didn't like the actual structure of it either.
Well, it's too easy. You can't die.
Yeah.
At once, so you get bored. There's no challenge. It's just how long can you be bothered to tap A and kill everything for? Which, you know, I suppose in of itself is a challenge, but that's a bit like the challenge of getting through a shitty job in the office, you know? It's not... But...
I mean, initially it's quite fun though, because there's lots of blood, which is quite cool, and like people explode. There's policemen on the surface, and you can leap out.
Tremors, yeah.
But then that kind of gets boring when you did it about 400 times.
It gets to the point where you're trying to kill yourself. It's like that game I played a while ago, the event that happened.
Oh yeah, that one, yeah. The incident, I think.
The incident?
I think it's the incident.
Incident, we can go with that. Yeah, that was boring. so boring we forgot the title. Another boring game I've been playing. There you go. However, it's only 59 pence, and we were talking about the iPhone ruining everyone's world due to its cheap games. Some. But actually, for 59 pence, it's got quite charming visuals. It's not going to last you long, but I mean, you know, you can probably. I would recommend it. Is that weird? That seems weird. I feel weird recommending. Yeah.
Cut the Rope's also 59p, I think. That's good.
You know, it's hard. It's, you know, at 59 pence, it's a really hard price to begrudge, isn't it? Even if the game is, if it falls down in some respects.
I don't know. I can still hold a grudge against a game that I don't enjoy. It was 59p. I'm a very bitter man.
But it's not a sort of bad game. It's just a misguided game. It could be turned up just like the incident event happening now could also be tightened up with some mechanics. So we'll see. I'll keep my eye on it. If it update, maybe I'll come back to the future.
I can jump in here with a game I play. We can do one game and then another game. That'd be good. Unless you haven't played the games. Well, I can on a theme. I downloaded Fumes Stunt Racer earlier on today. Actually, I was a little bit slow, which isn't a 59p. It's actually £1 for it, and it's essentially a riff on Jeff Crammond's original Stunt Car Racer.
Oh my goodness!
Amiga. Right, I know. What's it called? Whoa, temper your excitement, my friend. Temper.
What?
It looks really badly like in the screenshots, but don't reach out just yet. It's not very good. It's a worthy tribute in a way. I can see the developer really loves the original, but they haven't got it right. The problem I think stems from the fact that its handling is awful right now. They have put up patch notes which say that they're going to do a patch which is going to improve a lot of things, which a lot of people have been experiencing crashes across the board on OS 4.
Stunt drivers often experience crashes, so...
Yeah, not that kind of crash. I didn't have any problems myself in 4.1, but there's enough reviews in the App Store to make me think it's not just a one-off case. The graphics are nice, but it's lacking that edge. Because on Stunt Car Race, the original, if you haven't played it, which is understandable because it was released in, like, 1989 or 1990... or even 1987, I can't remember. It was on the Microprose label, I know that. The joy of that game was that it was incredibly hard. Like, if you took a corner, slightly wrong angle, slightly too fast, your car basically just flipped up off the track, because the tracks used to go really high and then down and really high, like a roller coaster, only without a track, as in tracks, to keep you safe. And if you fell off, you started causing damage, right? That was one of the good things, because it was like risk-reward. You know, you had to beat the ghost car, but you couldn't go too fast, otherwise you break your car. There's
causing,
no ghost.
Causing damage to the car, we should specify, not just you fall off and start vandalizing.
Yeah, yeah, you don't.
The hot dog stands.
It's not Grand Theft Auto Theme Park. That'd be pretty cool, actually. I'd play that. Unfortunately, this new version doesn't have any damage. The suspension, therefore, is like your safety net. So if you come down really hard on the ground, you just bounce back up again, which just kind of feels a bit rubbish. Also, there's no ghost cars, so you're not driving against anyone, or at least I haven't noticed any yet. Maybe there's an option. But, it just lacks certain elements of the original that made the original fun. And unfortunately, and the handling's awful. It's like a tank. If you go, the faster you go, the harder it is to steer. And it sort of ends up, you could pull a joystick, the virtual sort of slider, right to the far left, and it won't move. It'll just move like an inch. And it just feels wrong somehow. It just feels like it's been, I don't know, just doesn't feel right. So yeah, I would hold off on it right now. If it gets updated and it gets good, I'll tell you guys on the podcast. But at the moment, no.
That's a shame. That's just... What was it called?
It's Fumes, Stunt Racer. Don't type in Stunt Car because it won't come up. And don't type in Stunt...
There is Stunt Car Racer on the iPhone, but it's a 2D thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Fumes looks almost identical to Stunt Car Racer, but it's not. It's good.
How interesting.
Do you have another game?
Well, I haven't played in depth. I have revisited recounting the story to someone in the office about a game I once played on the iPhone called Catch the Egg. So I've downloaded it again, obviously because I bought it in my initial iPhone excitement. Still, that it's free to re-download. iTunes doesn't work so well. My girlfriend and I have music through iTunes, but the App Store seems to just work. But anyway, yeah.
What's the title of this story again? Catch the Egg.
Catch the Egg, yeah. So what happens is you... it's got a bit of a... It's by Hudson. Bit of a Japanese crazy-ish deal, which I can't really describe. But anyway, an egg goes in the air and phone up and look for it. Actually hold it above your head. Around for, and then as it comes back, you have to just pull you down to soften the blow, and then if you've called desperately, then you bring the phone down, look below you, smashed on the ground, or in your hand, and your hand will lower, and there's the egg waiting to crack on pole if you manage to soften the. And obviously, it becomes tedious, as you would imagine, very quick, but it's initially quite amusing. So yeah, that's my other game really.
Well.
The iPhone.
Well, I've also been playing very, very briefly. Actually, no, I played Cut the Rope very extensively, and I love it. It's a great game. Well-deserved 1 million downloads there by Jalingo, because it's a very, very well-paced and well-judged physics puzzler.
Yeah?
And I'd recommend you to get that. It's, people are calling it the new Angry Birds, but I didn't like Angry Birds that much, so I'm going to call it the new Cut the Rope. it's good. It's very good. And it's 59p. So if you haven't got it or you haven't checked it out yet, then I'd recommend that. And also, I've been playing very briefly Virtual City, which I think came out on the iPad only about a few days ago. But it looks like a Transport Tycoon Lite. And I love Transport Tycoon. It's an old 90s PC economic strategy game.
It's a brilliant game.
It's a brilliant game. It sounds really boring. If you say the words Transport Tycoon to anyone who hasn't played it, the immediate reaction is their face goes, what? Wait, what? Yeah, you manage trains and buses and... Wow, that sounds really dull.
Sorry, anyone who doesn't get excited about that doesn't deserve to have lungs. Let alone for the gaming.
Well, it's genuinely good, Transport Tycoon. Like, one of my favourite games from the 90s. And this one looks like a sort of Transport Tycoon Lite. I'm still on the tutorial level, so I can't give it proper judgment. But it's kind of like sort of my first Transport Tycoon. So there's no real, from what I can see.
The first one.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as complicated as that. You don't have the whole economic structure of different towns like growing through the years. That's what I always used to love. But no. It's much more sort of simple. But it looks well designed for the touchscreen, unlike Transport Tycoon Deluxe, which was released by the guy who did the open source version for the PC. Yeah, it wasn't very well customized to the touchscreen. In fact, it was awful. It's a great game, but not very well adjusted. And I don't think he's updated it since it was on the App Store, so I can say that with confidence, even though it came out a few months ago. Yeah, it looks interesting. I'll have my full assessment next week, tell you how it went along with fumes. Yeah.
Do you know what, Will? We've got two questions this week as well.
Yeah. We've got a question on the comments page as well.
Is that one of them? Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. So,
from one of our long-term listeners of the podcast, because he's asked a question before, I think.
Oh, first question. He's a competition winner from when I was doing my internship. He won some Fast and Furious. Sending him to himself, dragged along by a van, playing Game Gear? I think he was. Yeah, I'm not sure. But anyway, it was an awesome photo. So, but his question, is Alex coming back? What kind of fucking question is good enough for you? You miserable bastard. You ungrateful... Will, I can't... You answer him.
I did. I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know either. Why did he even disappear? I miss him.
Originally, it was because there was football scheduled for the Thursdays. But now he sort of disappeared from the chat room. And we just sort of got stuck into this, into the same three lineup, basically. I think there's going to be a few more shakeups to the lineup to come. I mean, because we got the 100th anniversary coming up soon, so I'm pretty sure some old faces would definitely come back for that. At the moment, it's just the three of us, though. So, I know, there's always a possibility. It's not been, he's not been gone.
It's a fluid lineup.
It is a fluid lineup. It's been less fluid in the last 2 months, but yeah.
Yeah, solid.
Solid.
I've been away. You've been, yeah. Maybe people vote each week.
I'll be voted off.
Yeah. at the end, three people left. The choice.
We should do a battle royale style.
You and Tracy. Oh yeah, we could kill each other.
That'd be good.
Kill it. It wouldn't, though, would it? It would be awful. It'd be a horrible nightmare.
Quite horrifying, but it'd be quite fun at the same time.
No.
Okay. Well, the other question is: does Apple now have to implement a way to back up your save files? This is from Anthony Usher, 87, who has asked a question before, I think. Does Apple now have to implement a way to back up your save files? Beneath a Steel Sky allowed you to do so by file transfer inside iTunes. Why don't more games offer this feature? And
thank guys, great podcast. You should,
thank guys, great podcast.
He's got the right attitude.
Yeah, he has got the right attitude. Yes.
Yeah.
We like that.
Yes, Anthony.
That's a positive go-getter.
Go-getter, you're a good man. Answer the man's question.
Yeah, I think I don't think they have a way of backing up the save files. I think that's inside the app itself, which gets deleted completely when you take it off your machine. I think it's a sort of hanger on because they don't want any of these bits and crap left over that PCs, desktops have, and the Mac as well. Mac has tons of crap that you can't get rid of unless you know exactly where to look. I think it's just their way of making sure everything was kept clean. Well, of course, that impacts badly on games because, like you say, if you delete a game, then it disappears completely with all your saves. I don't recall very many games actually doing the same thing as Beneath a Steel Sky. In fact, I can't recall any of them that I've played that allows you to do that. I think that was just a very clever thing that Revolution did.
Do the Broken Sword games do anything?
Ooh,
I like
that. I need to check.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same company, so...
Exactly. No,
and it was after Sky, I think. So it should do. It'd be weird if they didn't.
Maybe.
But yeah, I don't know. That's what I think is the reasoning behind it anyway. And yeah, I agree with you. It's annoying because
oddly though, backing up your save file to Steel Sky or any other point click adventures is perhaps the least relevant. It, you know, it's a narrative, a linear narrative you're going to play through, enjoy, and say you get the app. Well, why, you know, it's not the game really that I would want to put my game from. Whereas, say, Op 7, I would not want to ever lose my scores. What I mean?
I think the scores are different, though, because you can get, because of all the gaming networks. I mean, well,
absolutely. But I'm just questioning the relevance of having to backing up a point and click save file.
Oh, it's very relevant. Stuff. I mean, today, well, the other day, I accidentally synced up my iPod with my PC, which doesn't have my music or apps on. And I completely misread that little box that always pops up saying, hello, do you want to sync it to this machine? And I clicked OK accidentally, and I lost all my apps and games.
Just because you're incompetent, that doesn't mean the rest of us things. It's really ourselves. That is very bad. That's kind of, you're aging. You're clearly losing your...
It's quite easy. I had like 5 windows open at the time. It was just another dialogue box. God.
Were you a bit cold?
Yeah. I see.
That's why maybe you're shaking hands. No, I've just said that. It really wasn't worth it. So there we go. We've answered those questions. Brilliantly.
Pretty succinctly.
Succinctly. That's the new word for this week.
There we go.
Grokbert, we're not really angry with you. We thought you phoned. And we'll see about Alex. We'll find out what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you're hosting.
It's been a bit of a crazy recording session because I mean, I still can hear you popping in and out, which is going to really annoy everyone listening. So sorry about that again, listeners.
Listeners.
We're just having network issues. And Tracy's off. So yeah, it's a bit of a weird ending. But if you are still with us, thank you for sticking through this odd episode. And we'll be back to normal service next week, hopefully.
Is normal, Will?
Well, yeah. Normal in our odd, isolated podcast/jazz studio fashion. But anyway, so thank you for listening. I've been Will Wilson, your temporary stand-in host for this week. And he's been Ben Maxwell.
Are you going to become Will Wilson?
Really?
Yes. Have you seen Talented Mr. Ripley?
Yeah, I didn't think you were actually going to go ahead with that.
I'm coming.
Oh, God.
I've had your one.
Anyway, we're going to play you out with some nice, cool jazz. So we'll see you all next week.
Ciao, man. Ciao.